Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I love to do this show to talk to you and have you talk to me. This is a call-in show. We're talking about how we can change ourselves in such a way as to be radiating contributors into the collective at this time in history. This is the time that we keep hearing about that's called the Great Shift. This is supposed to be the time with the Mayan C.J. Kallman said is the Mayan waves that we've talked about, which are the unfoldment or the flowing of waves of consciousness into our collective. This one supposedly started March 9th, the ninth wave, and it's a wave that's bringing us to the ability to create what? A loving species. My guide said many, many years ago, 20, I heard that that they were talking about how we're becoming, you know, the purpose of our life at this time in history is to become a new species. And I had forgotten that we said that, but it was my guidance that said that some years ago. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, as most of you know that, and do some channeling. And they were talking about how we have the possibility of becoming a new species. That's the species that looks after one another, a species that moves in a collective form, perhaps getting in touch with the true meaning of oneness and the various things that many of us have studied as we move through these times of the shift. And what Kallman was talking about is that the Mayans knew how to develop calendars according to these waves of consciousness that were moving into the collective. And here we are at the time of the shift, the one that's supposed to boot us up to be a loving, mutually serving, evolving, multidimensional, gosh only knows what all kind of species. But the long and the short of it is we have to choose that. It doesn't just flow through us and hot diggity, I'm evolved, yay. It's something that we have to pick because by nature, we have a lot of Velcro, don't we? What moves through us, we want to grab onto it because it makes me important. It makes me secure. It makes me safe. It makes my lifetime repeatable. And then I'm safe and I know who to hook up with. Well, that's not going to work for us. It's going to be required that for us to do this shift is going to be a conscious recognition of the way we're holding on to the ways we've been and actually releasing that so that we can catch the wave and become higher form, and in that movement to a higher form of species, we want to have the conscious drive to move ourselves to more giving, more loving, moving out of competitive stuff, jealousy, greed, comparison to one another, tuning into the fact that you're the only one in the universe that's you, and I'm the only one that's me. And when we're all into that self-awareness, golly, the collective is much more of a sparky, the dharma of the collective becomes a much more mutually fulfilling drive. I bet you a lot of you know what dharma is, and it's basically what is the right purpose deep within your soul's journey in this lifetime? And what is the dharma, the right liveliness or the livelihood of our collective at this time? If you read all these bits and pieces about the shift and so on, it seems like the dharma of our collective is to shift into a much higher level of consciousness as well. So I want to talk to you tonight about that and about the Bhagavad Gita, which sounds like a huge jump. This is a book that was written some 8,000 years ago, and I managed to interview a fellow named Jack Hawley, who rewrote or he kind of requalified a lot of the poetry in the Bhagavad Gita, the ancient Indian text, as a walkthrough for Westerners. And I just loved our interview. What was really interesting to me is that as you start reading this, which is a very readable version of an ancient kind of an Indian biblical source of wisdom, it could have been applied to today. Because what it was talking about at the beginning is how this fellow has stepped into kingship. And as he did, what he did was he ripped off a lot of people for their land, for their money, for their food. He started treating the women really badly. It was incredible. And so they start a battle. And the battle is with Arjuna. A lot of you have probably heard this part of the story. But his cousin, Arjuna, was one of the people who had his land all pulled away from this cousin. And they had two huge armies. The one was the fellow who just stepped into kinghood, and his cousin, Arjuna, who was leading a lot of other people. And they had been trained most of their lives to be spiritual warriors as well as physical warriors. Now, Arjuna's buddy, his lifelong friend, was Krishna, as we all know as a god, or he's known in this book as an avatar, someone who is born, well, someone who's never been born and never dies. And he was born with a terrific amount of, or he arrived on this planet with a whole knowing about life and what it's all about. So there's a lot of discussion in this book about Arjuna saying, golly, I have to go to war because of this big ripoff, and I don't want to hurt people, and I want to be really loving and kind, and the people I'm going to war with are the people I was raised with, and it's going to be awful to shed blood, and I just don't know what to do. And he just wanted to sit in the middle of the battlefield and do nothing. And Krishna gave him a big, long spiel on what it is to be a real warrior. And essentially what he said was, it isn't what's happening in the third dimension. It is not happening, and it's not what is happening on your planet. What's happening is it's what's going on inside of you. Are you dealing with things like competition, jealousy, greed, anger, betrayal, and all those things? Or are you standing up to your dharma, your duty? Are you stepping forward with the courage to do what you know has to be done? And also, what you know suits your inner. Now, Arjuna himself was well known for being a really powerful warrior. So his dharma, or his drive on the planet, he was known as the kind of warrior that many people watched, observed when he was in battle, because he was so amazing. It was like a ballet. It was like he was just a really amazing warrior hero. And it was his dharma. So what Krishna is saying is, it's your dharma to be the fighter. You need to be the fighter. But you need to be looking at inside of yourself is, what are your motivations? What are you doing? Are you just being greedy, lustful, and so on? Why would you go to battle? It's just a really amazing thing. But what I loved about it is, it could be today, as we're looking at the horrendous swindling by great corporations of people all over the world, dropping countries to their knees, and the mortgage thing and the hoo-ha that's going on, and you can't trust anybody, and everybody's going to saying that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm reading this 8,000 years old, and I'm saying it's the same stuff, and the same, absolutely the same. I'm giggling as I'm reading the first section, going, wow, things have not changed at all. And maybe that's true. Maybe what we're learning is that life has always been this particular, or this, what would I say? Life has always been an opportunity for us to come into the world and find our way, and to kind of battle within ourselves and our different drives and anxieties, and the kind of drives that come from past life, so that you got this subconscious drive to get even, and you don't even know why, and you have all these karmic relationships and so on. And what's the job? The job is to drop in, to get centered and become the spiritual warrior you are. So what I want to do is talk to you guys in person. I want to see what you're doing, thinking about the Japanese earthquake, the one in Laos the other day, and all the different earth changes we're hearing about, the shift. How are you doing with jobs and being laid off, or are you gaining new business opportunities, or what's going on with you? So we're going to give you the numbers right after we do our meditation. And this meditation is the sacred geometric meditation, meant to help us. One of the most important things right now is, in the middle of very fast-moving actions, we have to find ways of being peaceful, of being really stable, and of radiating out into the world as a contributor some mutually supportive vibrations that can help other people who are in a state of chaos to calm down and feel protected and supported. I think it's going to be a really interesting meditation, so let's close our eyes and do our meditation before you call in and we talk to you. Oh, at 7:30, Deb O'Connor is going to call in as well. And I want to ask her a few questions like, hey, Deb, what do the skies look like when our egos are going to have some kind of impact so that the collective ego problem on our planet can shift because of different planetary alignments? Let's see what she has to say. I'll kind of give her a hard time today and push her to the wall and say, for thousands of years we've been this way and that, and the collective is changing, and what do the planets say about that? So tune in at 7:30 if you have to go off and have a tea break and avoid my amazing meditation and find out what she says about shifting collective problems like ego because of what's going on astrologically. So here we go. Close your eyes and don't fall over. So if you're on a unicycle, be careful. One more time. Now above your head, about two miles, create a golden ball. And below your spine, 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a hot filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Good. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height and 20 feet out, drop a four-sided pyramid. And now upside down, the lower point, another four-sided pyramid for this point. Thank you for calling. If you can wait, I'm going to finish our meditation first. So upside down, you have another pyramid, and that lower point pokes into the lower golden ball. So you've got the pyramids meeting each other point to point. That gives you an octahedron, an eight-sided figure, a structure. And inside of that structure, see a crystal ball. And inside of the crystal ball, there you are, with that filament of light running through your spine. You're inside a star tetrahedron, which is like a Star of David, three-dimensional. And whilst you're in there, spin and spin and spin. I get so dizzy when I spin like that. Do you? And now whilst you're spinning, take a look in front of you. There's a magical screen. And the first screen, you're going to put a movie up there. And the movie is going to be in your design. You're the producer, director, and the star. And you're going to see yourself becoming what it is you'd love to become in this lifetime and on this planet. I always want to be multidimensional, coming from the heart, super magical, maybe even being in touch with aspects of myself that live out in the universe. That was inspired by my cousin today. And just see yourself really well and just be enjoying it. When you really feel like you're enjoying yourself in whatever it is you've designed as being your future ideal self, wrap that in light so it continues. Then we're going to do another movie. And the next movie is you creating something you really want to create. What's it going to be? I'm creating a TV series and some other projects. What are you creating? A job? A home and a job? Are you creating a family? Are you creating a house? A book? Somebody's got some amazing art here. And just see yourself creating that. See the resources coming. Feel the resources coming to make your creations possible. Excellent. And now when it's done and you've got that great satisfaction in your heart and soul and you're smiling all over, see the resources coming to keep that going. To fuel its ongoingness, to fuel its business, to fuel its success, and your contribution to the world. Woohoo! Now wrap that in light and let's move to the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, every one of us has a group of beings around us, consciousness beings around us, who can help us heal. So in the Galactic Healing Center, I want you to see your healing table, a beautiful healing table, and surrounded by these beings of light. Now you're the first person to lie on the table, so in you go. And now maybe you know what it is about yourself you want to have healed. Or maybe you need them to tell you. First of all, take a look at the beings around your table. Who are they? Do you recognize them? Good. And now you're asking for some kind of healing. Good. And what is it they do for you? You can perhaps feel a lot. Excellent. And maybe they're going to give you a message as well about what you can do to amp up the healing. Okay, and sometimes you need to take a minute to run off and write that down. Now wrap that in light. And because it's magic that we're dealing with here, our team can replicate themselves, bring in a fresh healing table, and have your team move around it again. And bring in someone that you know is suffering. I have this person coming in who's having seizures. And I'm having him lying on the table. And we're asking the healing team what they can do for him. Who have you got? You don't have to have the person I do. You can join me or you can bring in someone else. And what is it? Oh, yes. What is it they need to do? They're telling me that he needs to have he's having seizures, but apparently he needs to have his hips readjusted, and that's kind of interesting. So they're working on his skeletal system, and they're helping release a couple of glitches there in his skeletal system, which is creating huge stress. Yeah. So what's happening with your client, your patient there? And when you feel like they're getting somewhere with him, wrap it in light and move that healing table to the side. And remember, our team can replicate themselves again. We have a fresh healing table. Yeah, now I have a very ill woman who's coming in and she's swollen all over and her legs are swollen and her belly's swollen. I think it's a cancer kind of thing where people get that water retention. And we're getting, I think it's called a cetus. In any case, the beings are pulling. There you are. They're working her energy and clearing her up. And you might have someone different on your table, and that's fine. Let me know afterwards what's happening. Okay. That's it. And the woman, they're saying, has a tremendous amount of grief and deep anxiety, and they're pulling it out of her body. We don't need to invade her privacy and find out why. Okay. And now let's flush her with a violet flame and then a golden light. And pray that the healing just keeps going on. And let's wrap that in light and send it over to the side. And now we get to do our political one. We got a lot of earth changes going on. Let's do some healing for the core of the earth. I'm not sure which way to do this, but this is one thing we can do. Let's do some healing for the core of the earth. And connecting it to the protective frequencies of the universe and find ways of combining the peace and ease at the core of the earth with those kinds of lines that come off the earth that can help let the pressures that are building up inside the core of the earth and in through the plates in different parts of our globe, just have them leak off. So interesting to me that there are earthquakes going on inside of many, many individuals right now as we move toward the shift. And it seems the art of releasing, whether you're the Mother Earth or your individuals on her, the art of releasing the old pent-up stuff when we're in a time of rapid change is very important. So let's have the core of the earth with her molten inner core gently release pressure up through the streams and wires. And now let's take a minute and call in a beautiful pink light from the great central sun down in through the top of our heads, out our hearts and our hands, arms and hands, and send that light, that healing light, to parts of the planet that are in incredible hot spots that are political, that are seeded by greed and corruption, as well as the piling up of deep frustrations in people, whether it's Libya, North Korea, the American government, or corporate things, or the oligarchy, as my guides like to call the few, the global elite. Let's just send all this light to them, that beings in those different situations learn about harmony within and care about expressing harmony without. And then have that pink-orange light travel round and round the world, round and round the world, until the whole world is this pinky, orangey, salmony, radiant light. And that light comes back into your arms, your fingers, your hands, your arms, your chest, your heart, back up through your neck, up through your head, and pop out to the great central sun. Then you pop back in and close off the galactic healing center and pop into your star tetrahedron and do some spinning. And as you spin and spin and spin and pop into the room, we invite our caller, who's been extremely patient, I think, to say hello and say, welcome, you're on the air. Are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you?
I'm really good. That was very good meditation. I guess that would be a process. That's really amazing. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you for staying tuned in. So what's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Kelly.
Well, welcome to the show, Kelly. Do you have a question for us?
Well, I do. I've been very affected by all of this changes that you've been talking about, especially the last week. It's been very kind of chaotic personally for me.
It's hard. Yeah, it's very hard for us.
Hello?
Keep going. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Okay. Well, without going into detail about the whole thing, I really guess I just would like to know, when am I going to be able to move forward as far as, like, work is concerned? Because I feel very kind of, like, ready and chomping at the bit, but yet nothing seems to be progressing like I want.
It seems like, I think, first of all, this is going to sound funny, but it seems like you have to back up a little bit for some reason.
No.
You're headed forward, but I want to say the second chakra, the subconscious area, is sort of like hanging down, and it's kind of weighted. And I'm going, it's funny because it sort of sends out a different message. We forget that we're such amazing messengers. And we want you to back up, take a few days just to think about yourself and be really clear about what you want. Do some clearing, and then you're going to turn left. It's as if wherever you've been looking isn't quite right, or how you've presented yourself is a bit weighed down. And when you just back up, clear yourself, turn left, as if you were turning in a slightly different direction, you get a job, and it's really amazing to you. All of a sudden, boing, there you are, working. And you like it. So, I don't know what kind of work you do, but you seem to like this one a lot.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's not like how you... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just hear you saying to take a pause, like just slow down.
Exactly, but the other thing is to check your subconscious and see that you have to clear some of your fears and dreads, because that's what clears out the subconscious. Do a bunch of releasing exercises. Have you done that?
Yes. And I will continue to.
Well,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, so round up a bunch of stuff and just do some rapid clearing, and you know what will happen. Your stomach will start to gurgle. What do they call that? Bulgur rigness or something. in massage and so on, when a person's stomach gurgles with change, you know? Because we want you to do enough releasing so that you feel that happen. Because then when you start applying again, apply to a slightly different direction, and lo and behold, you're going to have a job, girl.
Okay, I'm good.
And we expect a report from you, you see.
Definitely. Anything will help. Well, thank you so much.
All right, well, thanks for being patient and waiting through the meditation and joining us.
Oh, no, I love that. Thanks.
Thank you. That's really interesting. Oh, yes, I should give you the numbers, although Deb O'Connor is going to call in a minute, so don't call in till she's done. But, yeah, so I'll give you the number after. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, isn't it amazing? There's such a time of change going on. And like Kelly said, she's really been affected by the changes. A lot of you have, and I want to say one of the greatest things we can do when we're spinning and dizzy, pay attention and know that you're kind of empathizing with the changes that, for example, the Japanese people are going through, and you're feeling people's pain and so on. You can feel it, but then stay still. Do your meditation. A simple thing to do is call in a spiraling golden light from the great central sun and have it go down like a corkscrew. I love to think of it as a corkscrew or a bottle washer going through the top of your head and squeegeeing round and round and round in your body. Make sure you feel it all the way through, right down through your legs and your feet, and it goes right into the core of the earth. And just stabilizing and clearing our own empathy for that kind of chaos is a great service to the planet. It helps stabilize other people that are out there and need your help. Because remember, by the same token, as you empathize with them, they can pick up and empathize with you. So give your service that way. Of course, we're going to send money and clothes and whatever else. But you do a tremendous service by sending your light out there. Now, we're going to have Deb O'Connor in a few minutes. And what I want to know is, what does it take for this species, which is still acting the way it did 8,000 years ago, what does it take for us to make the shift to become a very different species? I think one of the things we need to do is look at our ego. One is to look at what oneness is. What is it if we're all one? What does that mean? Are we going to all scrap for our existence so that my identity is going to be greater than yours? Are we going to keep doing that? When are we going to just hug Mother Earth and really feel like we're all a part of her life as well? And I'm going to ask her what the planets, you know, when they move around and they have an impact, and we're going through Uranus, which is the planet of change and invention and so on. And it's now just hit Aries, or it's in Aries right now, which is rapid change. So what does it look like out in the universe when the planetary movement is going to help us to, for example, release ego? When is it going to help us to take advantage of the new waves of the shift? I think that she might have some stuff to talk about. I don't know whether I'm asking her for that, which is impossible, but I know that Deb has a big consciousness when it comes to what's going on in the universe and how to read it. So come on, Deb.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you're just in the nick of time, aren't you?
Great show, as always.
Thank you. So did you hear my question? Because I'm really excited. Well, and I always I like to tell people that you're very poetic. You're also used to be an editor. You're quite an amazing artist. So I know these are the kinds of questions you can handle as an astrologer, right?
Well, I think so.
I said, or can you?
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about, when any of us talk about ego or non-ego, or what we're talking about is, you're talking about divine consciousness, really, when you talk about getting the ego out of the way, and you're always asking about planet Neptune and the sign of Pisces. Planet Neptune gives its nature to the sign of Pisces. And so when we think about what's going on by transit right now, Neptune, this amazing, beautiful planet that I like to, when I talk about the planets, I always talk about the fact that they all have a different job, kind of cosmic job to do to, in terms of helping us to learn what we need to learn to evolve. And Neptune's job is basically to teach us about cosmic heart, which is egolessness. It's kind of a crazy word, but to understand egolessness, Neptune and Pisces. And they're two really long-term transits that have just, they're occurring with both with Neptune and with the sign of Pisces. And Neptune is about to enter into the sign of Pisces, where it hasn't been for 160 years. That's a long time. And it goes into Pisces in the next few weeks, which means that we've been feeling this resonance for months and months. And then the second planet, which is actually merged with this, that has just gone into Pisces, the planet, the sign ruled by Neptune, is Chiron, which is like the world wound. So here we have these energies that are just kind of like Neptune and Pisces on steroids, because the planet is coming into its own sign, and the healing of the wound is right there with it. And I think that whenever I talk to anybody about Neptune or Pisces, I always, you know, give them that really simple metaphor, which is that there is this ocean of consciousness that's eternal and infinite, and we are, and Neptune, with this is the Neptune teaching. We are both the ocean and with a drop in the ocean. Or the other metaphor is to imagine that there's this extraordinary field of light, which is divine energy, all love energy, and that each one of us is a fractal of that light. So I think
that's
the
nice
trick for humans is to know that we are. You talk about this all the time, but we're not. We feel like there's dualism, but there really isn't. But when we're in this human form, we have to be both. We have to be the light fractal at the same time that we are part of the whole of the light. You know, the whole getting to know itself through the parts. But really, I'm with you. I think the trick is to get out of our own way, and the ego gets in the way, and it's just that yammering human brain that is just blathering at us from all the old ways of understanding everything. And then, of course, we know about this Uranus transit, which is really helping us with that. I think that we are truly, as Neptune comes into Pisces and follows Chiron, and there's a tremendous amount of healing right now occurring. In as much as anything, that people are becoming aware of the fact that they feel separate. I mean, think about how long it was before we even talked about dualism.
Right.
And awareness.
Tell me this. I just want to go back to something. I remember you telling me a couple of years ago that you felt that Neptune was the planet that talked about how we love as well. Is that right?
There are two planets that have to do with how we love. One is Venus and one is Neptune. And Venus is more about the human expression of love and beauty. But Neptune is, I like to call it the planet, as an archetype, the planet of the divine heart, which just means that Neptune carries all compassion and all empathy within it. So if it's going into its own sign, if it's going into Pisces now, for the first time in 160 years, and following the wound, that's just the world wound, the healing of the world wound, which has just gone into Pisces. Both Neptune and Pisces are really hard to put words to, because we're talking about basically the essence of that divine energy, source energy, whatever that is. It's so much bigger than our language, but it's phenomenally compassionate. And with Chiron, which is the healing, the wound and the healing of the wound, as it's passed into Pisces, it's made me feel a lot of, I don't even like the word hope because it means that things aren't necessarily happening. I just feel a lot of resonance with people really starting to feel like they're understanding that it's not so much who we are as what we are.
That's
Do you know
really
what I mean? Like, we are divine energy in a body. Right? We're light in a body, and that's what Neptune knows. Neptune is the light itself.
Wonderful. So what was happening 160 years ago, Deb?
Well, a lot of things, but the thing that's important, I think the thing that's important astrologically, I mean, we could go there, but we don't have that much time, and is to remember that 160 years ago, when Neptune went to Pisces, Chiron wasn't leading it. So the wounded healer wasn't leading it. And 160 years ago, when Neptune went into Pisces, Uranus wasn't in Aries, hadn't just gone into Aries. I mean, you know, and Pluto wasn't in Capricorn, and the planets are never in the same. We know how we always talk about the whole field of energy that's working. Mm-hmm. So Neptune's not working alone. It's working with these other great and extraordinary energy beings who are challenging it and facilitating this particular piece. Pluto keeps bringing up fear and saying, let's just notice this and release this. And I've gotten to the point where I think it's almost that simple. I think things are simplifying a bit.
Oh, that's nice. We like that.
But we have to do Neptune to get them to simplify, which means we have to surrender the ego, which means we have to just stop thinking about everything and just surrender it back over to the divine. And that's hard.
So that's a great recommendation for taking full advantage of this Neptune in Pisces time and the Chiron. Chiron's also in Pisces?
Chiron went into Pisces a month ago.
Okay, so if people listening want to take advantage of that, you're recommending what, that they would stay still and really feel the
stuff that they can... that we notice how busy our mind is with old tapes that aren't leading us anywhere. And then in that noticing, you stop the circuitry of all that busyness, at least for a second, and then just start surrendering. I mean, it seems like such a simplistic and silly thing to say, but I've found that it's like a magic act. If we basically accept what's given, that's surrender. And then say to the divine world, to Neptune, Neptune says, know that all the angels and guides and invisible world are at your back. And just settle into that and surrender all of this. In other words, all of this would be whatever tricks the mind happens to be playing at the minute. You're not going to survive. You're going to lose your job. Your house is, you know, all of that. How are you going to feed your children? It's all too big for us. And Neptune says it is. It's all too big for you. So surrender it to the divine heart and see what happens.
Excellent. And, well, thank you.
And I mean, when you do that, don't you feel like some kind of shift always occurs and something amazing?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's like we get out of our own way, and so we receive better.
Yeah, Neptune is
we get to know we're looked after.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if that all sounds way too vague, but the best I can do is Neptune.
That doesn't sound vague to me. It sounds really helpful right now because people are pretty traumatized. But also, I want you to tell people how to get in touch with you, and I thank you so much for your wisdom.
You are so dear. You can get in touch with me at my email, which is Deb, short for Deborah, at lovedogdesign.com. Lovedogdesign.com.
You know, I want to throw another thing in, Deb. I know you know do these amazing pieces of art. So when someone has a chart with you, you create an art piece. This is something extra that people have to order. But you create an amazing art piece that has specific symbols relative to their chart. Now, does that, those are beautiful, but if a person has that that's related, say if it was related to my chart and it was hanging here, does that mean that it will help, what am I trying to say, trigger within me a response to the kind of optimal astrological configurations for me, for my self-empowerment?
I think so. I mean, everything
simple question, huh?
Yeah, well, I think the people that I've created these four certainly think that that's true. I mean, a lot of people will sit and meditate with, you know, have the chart, have this painting, chart painting in the, you know, in this sort of near the altar space, whatever that might be. And so, and I've found that with my own chart, it's just, I love looking at the symbology of it from this other, yeah, I mean, I'm really visual, so I think for anybody who is, it's really beautiful to see what that inner energy looks like in a painting. Anyway,
and you get the feeling. So when you're looking at Deb's website, look at some of those pieces of art. They're beautiful.
And the website is www.lovedogdesign.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for all this time. I love you dearly.
I love you dearly, too. And well, next week, if you've got time, we'd love to hear from you.
That sounds terrific.
All right,
Deb. I'll talk to you then.
Okay. Good night. So that's pretty inspiring stuff. So we're all going to be in the Neptunian, Piscean, infinite love kind of space, maybe. That should do a bit of ego washing. Now we're going to give you the number so you can call in as well. Call us here at Radiance by Design with your situation, your changes at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. It's always fun to hear how Deb approaches astrology because she's so poetic. You notice that? I love it. Anyway, so we're facing the shift, and there are some planetary alignments that are really helpful for us so that we get to move consciously. And what difference does that make to us? Well, I really believe that we feel when the planets are... I've had so many astrologers explain it to me. It's not just that the planets are doing things to us, but everything is energy, as you know, so that the lights that are pouring from them are cultivating in us or activating in us certain ways of being and seeing. And I just know this, that the planets are working really well with this huge shift. I don't know it logically. I just know it intrinsically. So I bet a lot of you saw that great moon, did you? Anyway, going back to the Bhagavad Gita, I wonder where I was going to go with this. What they were talking about is that there are a couple of principles for, I'll talk about their karma. I was talking about dharma, you know, how that there's a purpose for the collective on this planet. It's called the dharma for the collective, but there's a dharma for each one of us. And it's talking about how there are different kinds of paths. Some of you are off being really still and meditative and cogitative, and some people have the path of action. I really loved reading about that, where you got to go out there and do the kinds of things you know are really good for you, and it's kind of like a meditation because it's right in your dharma, and other people are contemplative, so they're being still maybe and being quiet within, or quieter. Maybe in both cases they're being quiet within, but some are being in action and some are being in contemplation. I really love that. And that what it's talking about is to get in touch with, to get attuned to your own dharma and that which really can make you, to unhook you from the drives of karma that are going on in your subconscious and throwing you relentlessly or helping you drive yourself even unconsciously, relentlessly through drama after drama after drama. We don't have to live like that. We can actually pull out of that whole experience and stop. And when Deb was saying surrender, stop and be centered and stay inside. Even if you're doing the path of action, you can go inside and be really surrendered. And you can actually pull out of the karma that you've accrued through other lifetimes. And I love that part. And they're talking about how you have the karma of the future, which is, I guess, what we kick off when we're acting out in today. You have the karma of today, which is coming from a product of stuff, and the karma from the past, which has really blindsided a lot of us. And what we can do if we go into a very neutral space and not react, we don't have to keep seeding more and more karma. So I keep wondering, as I'm talking to my own guides and angels and other people's as well, and certainly some of the great teachers that I talk to on paradigm shifters, I keep wondering if, as a species, as a collective, can we not step out of the real karmic drives that keep us going to battle even many, many years down, 8,000 years down after the Bhagavad Gita? I think it's very possible. As soon as I say that, I really am questioning myself. But I do think it's very, very possible. And we keep hearing more and more about how we're going to be able to move through dimensions, how we're going to be able to free ourselves from the confines of time and space and be able to see many optional lives and many... was hearing about quantum physics today and how each of us has many, many possibilities in any given moment, and each of those possibilities can have a life. And I don't want to get very far into this because I will be right out of my own waters. But my guides and angels often say or talk to me about how when we're doing energy, which is Radiance by Design's purpose, is to talk about consciously radiating so that when you radiate a higher frequency energy, you create higher frequency connections and you create higher frequency activities and drama, if that's the right word. As we move through these changes, then you have a higher frequency life and it doesn't connect any longer. It doesn't magnetize. It doesn't connect with many beings who are choosing a lower frequency life, who are, instead of surrender, for example, are hanging on for dear life to what looks like security at a time when security is really being dashed right, left, and center. Because you don't know what's happening with the job market, neither do I. You don't know what's happening with countries, with civilizations, with war, with earthquakes, or anything. Security is really kind of lost a lot of the meaning we used to have in the 50s or 60s, for example, hasn't it? And you can release yourself and make huge changes and find the security within yourself. And again, back to this book, which says that when we get to that point, we can find ourselves free of kind of dharma. Anyway, I'm rambling around here. I was talking about how the worlds will split, and those of us who are working really hard to move into a higher frequency reality are not going to be able to connect with beings in the lower frequency reality because the magnetism isn't going to work anymore. So how many of you are thinking about that? Like, what does that really mean to you? Do you think that you're going to see, well, many of them will say that the saddest thing will be that the people that you know who don't want to move and don't want to change inside of themselves, that you will be unable to contact, are sometimes people that we love, and they can no longer see us, and we can no longer associate with them, and that's going to become very hard. And I'm not sure when that's supposed to happen, but I've heard there are varying stories about whether it's going to happen. Well, some will say 2012. What do you believe about 2012? Because I don't believe that the lines of demarcation are ever that simple. Like with Deb O'Connor, she was talking about how Neptune moved into Pisces and we could feel it for the last month. That to me is a really good example that when there's heavenly changes or astrological changes or huge universal changes that go on, they don't happen in a minute. They happen in flows and waves and move over a period of time. And you and I are microcosms of all that, and we can feel the flows and the waves as they move through our body, mind, and those pulls and those those kind of softening, so those tensing up or those electrical feelings that come through the body and then back into the shift being a conscious thing. That's where you take those perhaps discomforts and you choose how you want to change yourself. You either resist and hang on to what you have for dear life, or you begin to release and go with the flow, the old lines, go with the flow, or you surrender and have that flow move on through you. So, I guess you're not going to phone tonight. I was hoping that people would call in and I wouldn't have to work quite this hard. But do you have any questions? I have a cousin here. She's visiting from Canada, and I want her to ask me a question since you guys aren't calling in about life and about what on earth she's doing.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Suze. This is my cousin, Suze. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Veronica. I'm really honored to be here, and I'm sitting in your beautiful living room looking out at the ocean, and it's wonderful. Thanks.
I'm glad you're here.
Hmm.
So do you have something that's going on in your world that you want to learn about or you want to tell us about?
The subject is very broad.
Well, this is something you've lived in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about what's going on in the Middle East right now?
I'm just continuing to sift through how I feel about the Middle East. On one level, I believe that this upheaval is needed. There is a part of me that's happy people are peacefully or are attempting to be peaceful in standing up to regimes that are not that are filling their the regimes who are looking after themselves and looking after the needs of people who are close to them and forgetting about the people in rural areas. And
did you see a lot of that while you were over there?
And so, you know, it's the haves and have not. So I'm happy to see that changes are happening, and they will be for the better. I know it.
Are you surprised that it was a peaceful gathering of people in Egypt, for example?
You know, honestly, I was. But very pleased to see that in my lifetime this is actually happening. I mean, it made my heart full to see that.
Yay! So, what are you doing with the shifting consciousness? Have you been into metaphysics for a long time?
No, actually, I haven't. I would describe myself as a newbie on the block. But now I'm avidly studying. My heart, I have cracked open, frankly. And I know that I am greeting everything in a new way and establishing a more of an idea of who I am and who I am not.
And you're going to move into doing a lot of healing work, aren't you?
Who would have thought of that? You know, it was, if I could not have ever predicted 4 years ago that I would be a healer, I would have slapped my guts out over that.
But the other thing I think people might be interested in, Suze, is that you've been involved in a thing called the Oneness Movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oneness Blessings, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a teeny bit about that, and then we'll have to go because we're almost done here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still integrating the Oneness Blessings, trying to understand it for me and why is it so important for me to go to my Oneness Blessing times weekly. And I have to say that I'm drawn to these times where we are able to meditate in a large group of about 40 people. When I enter that room, it's electrifying. There's something important in the air, and it's profound, and I meet my divine there, and this is beyond words for me, and it's like candy.
It's wow.
Blissful.
And it's awakened you over and over, hasn't it?
In all areas of my life, relationship with me, and my divine, and then it just spins out like, you know, a pebble in water. It just, the circles are getting wider and wider and wider, and I'm finding I'm becoming words that I thought were so simple, like compassion. I'm really, that term is becoming broader and broader and broader and deeper. In my trying to understand what that's all about, particularly during these times.
It seems to me that you're learning to be it, not just speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful thing to see. I thank you so much for being bold enough to respond as your cousin picked on you and made you come forward.
I love it.
So this is Veronica Entwistle. That was Suze James, my wonderful cousin. And it's been just tremendous talking to everybody tonight. And I know that we're all headed toward the shift with more and more awakening. It's a very exciting time on the planet. I know it's a bit scary at times, but boy, oh boy, we have the chance to become a really new species. And I hope a lot of you are going to stay tuned to the top of the hour when Jackie Salvitti and her wonderful team on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness comes on the air. We're going to talk to the team for halfway through, about halfway through anyway, we start talking with the team. Tonight's subject is going to be people being angry with God Goddess and I guess feeling the pressure of authority, but we'll find out what Jackie's got in mind about that. I know that she's finding that's a common topic among growing people these days. So we'll see what that's all about. If you'd like to email me or suggest guests for my show Paradigm Shifters Tuesday night from 8 to 9, I don't know who my guest is because someone changed his mind around, so we'll have a surprise guest this Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And I'll be back with you at 7 o'clock next Thursday on Radiance by Design. If you want to be in touch with me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com for a session, a private session with yourself, or to suggest a paradigm shifter, I'd love it. Let's all take a deep breath and send light to one another for our Radiance by Design community. We'll take Suze's comments about oneness. We're all one and we're all in community tonight. So let's take in a deep breath. Send light to one another. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you at the top of the hour.